Yes.
All right. So we are complete in Christ. That's wonderful news that in Christ we are complete. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. As you know, we've been working through Colossians, and we've been talking a lot about the fact that Paul is addressing some of the false teachings and false teachers that have influenced the church there. As we pick up with chapter 2, verse 8, through the very end of the chapter, Paul gets right into what it is that they are teaching and how it is that Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. And so the next couple of verses, the next few verses from chapter 2, verse 8 through the end of the chapter, is some really interesting things. And so we will kind of be looking at that as we go along. Let's begin just with verse number 8, and it's an interesting verse. Paul tells us to beware. Beware. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. As you know, we've been using the image of the food buffet over the last couple of weeks. Some of the teachers in Colossae were offering alternatives to Christ, offering up additional items for belief and for religious practice to Christ. And Paul, up until this point, has been stressing the fact that in Christ we are complete. All we need is Christ. We don't need Christ plus anything else. And so here Paul jumps in with this idea of all of us need to beware. We need to be careful. Let me read another particular translation for the same passage. And it comes from the New Living Translation. That passage says, do not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and the high-sounding nonsense. I like that word, nonsense. The high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. I think it was last week we talked about fine-sounding arguments. And Paul said that there were those who brought fine-sounding arguments to the believers there, and some of the believers were being drawn into this. The example we used during our message last Sunday was the Garden of Eden, where Satan himself came into the garden and put forth to Eve a fine-sounding argument that deceived her. And we noted last week that the Satan is the father of lies, and he's also the father of those who would put forth fine-sounding arguments to those that would listen and fall victim to those fine-sounding arguments. Notice here, too, I want to draw your attention to the word capture, the word capture there. And so the idea is, Paul is saying to us, do not become a captive. Do not become a captive. Well, there's so many things that would be in this world that would try to hold us captive. And it's these fine-sounding arguments. It's this hollow and deceptive philosophies that Paul was warning against in his time, and that we continue to see throughout the history of the church. And we see them even today. But here's an interesting thought. Again, we're reflecting on some of the words of the Apostle Paul. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, he is warning us not to become captive to these hollow and deceptive philosophers. There's another passage from the Apostle Paul. It's from the letter of 2 Corinthians. And this is where Paul actually tells us that we need to be captors. And the theme is very similar. Let's look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Here are Paul's words. He says, for Though we live in the world, we do not wage war. I'm going to actually change my view so I can see all the words. We do not wage war as the world does, for the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So the idea, if you think about it, is we can either be captors and take every thought and make it captive to Christ, or we can become captive. And I'm sure you know which of those two is the better alternative. We need to take every thought and make every thought captive to Christ instead of becoming a captive to the hollow and deceptive philosophies that come to us from men. And this word hollow is an interesting word. Hollow, as the word implies, is it's empty inside. There's no substance inside. And so often the ideas of man are hollow in that way. They may look good on the outside, but inside they are hollow. They have no substance. There's nothing there that is fulfilling the promise that the outside would have. I think about Easter time, since Easter is coming up shortly. When I was a kid, I remember we used to get the chocolate Easter bunnies or the chocolate Easter eggs. And one of the things we were always interested in is, was this a hollow egg, a hollow bunny, or was there some good, gooey, tasty stuff on the inside? Well, the philosophies of men are like those hollow bunnies. I know if you were like me when I was a kid, you look at the packaging, it's just hollow. Am I going to be able to find good stuff throughout? But the human philosophies, they may look good on the outside, but when you begin to examine them more closely, they are a bit hollow. If you go back, let's go back quickly to a previous, the verse we looked at, and I'm going to draw attention to one more difference. If you look at this slide, and this is kind of a difference of the interpretation. So if you have your own Bible at home, you may see some different words here. This translation talks about the basic principles of the world. The other verse talks about the spiritual powers of this world. And Bible scholars have looked at these two terms, and or this one term, and tried to determine what is going on here. The best way to understand this, I think, is as the New Living Translation talks about it here. This is the powers of evil, the spiritual powers of evil in our world. In our message last week, when we were thinking about the hollow and fine-sounding arguments, we compared this with the passage in the book of Ephesians. If you remember, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul told us that we were in a spiritual battle and that we needed to put on the full armor of God. And if you remember from that passage that we read last Sunday, that the our battle is not against the weapons of this world. It's not against physical things in this world, but our battle is against the spiritual forces of this world. And therefore, we need to engage the battle with the spiritual weapons given to us by Christ. And so we want to continue to keep that in mind, that Christ has given us spiritual abilities, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. These are things which we take up in order to be a captor of the thoughts of men rather than being captive to the ideas of men. So, are we a captor or a captive? Let's turn on and go on now to verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, it reads, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Now, these verses, as we mentioned before, are right in line with the false teachers that we've been talking about and that Paul continues to address throughout these verses. One of the things we've mentioned in the past is that some of the false teachers were denying that Christ was fully divine. Others have said he was divine. Another key feature is this notion of bodily form. We had mentioned before that some of the Gnostic teachers had said that, well, we can accept Christ as divine, he is a spiritual being, but we don't believe that Christ is a physical being, because in the Greek way of thinking, the physical world was something less important, less valuable, sometimes even evil. But Paul was reminding us here that Jesus is fully God. He is fully man. I know we've talked about these themes before. You look at that image at the top, you kind of see Jesus in the middle, and he includes our humanity. He includes our, the divinity, not our, but the divinity. And the idea here is that Jesus is that bridge between us and God. He is God on the cross, bringing us to God. He is man on the cross, representing our humanity. And for him to be our Savior, and this is a key issue here, in order for him to be our Savior, he must connect with us. He must connect with God. He must be physical as we are physical. He must be divine as God is divine. Many of the false teachers in the time of Paul were denying this. Paul is stating again that in order for him to be our Savior, he must be fully divine. And then it says here in verse number 10, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I think we all are looking for powers and authorities to follow. The false teachers in the time of Paul and even today, we're looking for that power, that authority to whom we would submit. And Paul is reminding us that Christ is the head over every power, over every authority. In the book of Romans chapter 13, Paul tells us that the governing authorities were put in place because God put them in place. And so we have lots of powers and authorities in our world, but we want to always remember that over all of those powers and authorities, Christ is supreme. This draws us our attention back to a verse we saw earlier in this letter. Christ is the supremacy. Christ has the preeminence. He is supreme in every way. The next, we want to look at another translation here, and this is the same verse, but it's a different translation. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Again, that's Jesus as fully God. Jesus is fully human. And in him you have been made complete. You know, that's one of the things we struggle with. We think that there are other things that we need to add on to Jesus in order to be complete. We need Jesus plus this, or Jesus plus that, or Jesus plus this way of doing things. This is what the false teachers were saying to the people of Colossae. Paul is reminding the people in the church that if you have Christ, you don't need anything else. You are complete in him. He is the head over all rule and all authority. We have a great confidence in Christ. We are complete in Christ. In fact, even if you kind of apply it to our situation right now, we think that that there are so many other things that we need to worry about and be concerned about. Paul's reminding us, if we trust in Christ, rest in Christ, that there is a completeness to be found there. And so that's an encouraging message for us. Being complete in Christ, recognizing that he is our link between our sinful nature and our salvation. He's the one who bridges the gap between us and God. Now, I noticed the time is kind of up for our message, and we obviously haven't got through as many verses as I had prepared for. But we'll pause here in the message in the PowerPoint, and we have looked at verses 10 or 8, 9, and 10. Let me read those verses one more time, and then we will have a few minutes to just reflect together and think about it, and maybe you have some additional thoughts or insights or connections you'd like to make and draw upon. So let me read the verses for you one more time in whole, and then we'll share together about what we learn from Christ from these verses. Again, Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." So let me take us off the PowerPoint and let us see one another again. And let's take a few minutes and just share any questions you may have, maybe some comments you may have. Maybe you can, as I was sharing those verses, you thought about some applications that would have been valuable for all of us. So let's all come back together, and we are all have been unmuted, or unmuted.